All right. Hello. My name is Angus Henderson. I'm a recent Oklahoma State University graduate with a degree in art history, emphasizing LGBT visual culture. What I'm going to do today is go through some of the more fun images of sailors that I've come across and talk about what those images consisted of, as well as what that meant in the times that they were published. I'm going to focus more on the past so that y'all nice people have more time and room to talk about the present. Between 1970 and 1975, Tom of Finland produced 5 cocky comics. We can talk a lot about the titular cocky, that's spelled K-A-K-E, but suffice it to say that he was Tom's ideal man and pretty transparently an idealized self-insert. Of those 5 comics, 4 of them involve sailors. Cocky picks them up from bars, parks, tea rooms, and then finally right off the ship. This follows with Tom's previous output, too, since he'd been drawing sexy sailors since he was a teenager in Finland. Along with soldiers and policemen, they fit very neatly into Tom's uniform fetish. However, this wasn't a desire unique to Tom or to Finland. Before Tom was ever published in the States, we can see an example of a sailor interacting with a sex worker during the early 1940s in a widely distributed Tijuana Bible called Donald Duck Has a Universal Desire. Tijuana Bibles, for the record, were short pornographic comics composed of 6 to 8 panels depicting various sex acts between popularly known characters. While overwhelmingly heterosexual in nature, there are a few really cool examples of homosexual behavior, like the one discussed here. There is a pretty good entry about it in the St. James Encyclopedia of Popular Culture from 2000. That was Sarah Pendergast and Tom Pendergast's editing. But anyway, this one is called Donald Duck Has a Universal Desire. The duck in question, in his recognizable sailor's outfit, seeks someone to relieve his anxiety. So he goes to a pimp of his acquaintance who is a dog. The pimp tells him that the only duck he has available is a fairy, and while Donald is initially reluctant, he soon resorts to any port in a storm, I had to say it. The flippant way he treats the fairy after he's been satisfied is indicative of the stereotype surrounding sailors as randy and kind of rude, portrayed as a man more sex-hungry than picky. It also shows us how close to women these effeminate types were positioned socially. While Donald recognizes that the other duck is not a woman, he doesn't recognize him as a man either. So if popular perceptions of the time were to be believed, the only working-class homosexuals in America were swishy, effeminate fops doing sex work while cross-dressing, like the effete duck in this publication. His enthusiasm for his lot with the sailor speaks both to the perceived perversion of the fairy and the desirability of the sailor. A decade earlier, in 1934, Paul Cadmus painted the very first work in the New Deal's Public Works of Art project, called The Fleet's Inn. It depicts an assortment of drunken and rambunctious sailors flirting with women and a well-coiffed blonde man in a red tie. These visual signals, red tie, blonde hair, the flirtatious offering of a cigarette lighter, were well-known codes of homoerotic interest at the time. Cadmus's body of work as he created the Fleet's Inn was largely satirical, exaggerating bodies and gestures to kind of a grotesque degree. So we see the civilian man as a stereotyped fairy. His brows are plucked and penciled, his cheeks are dramatically rouged, and he wears 2 showy rings, not to mention the red tie and the dyed blonde hair. He telegraphs his desires clearly. The sailors, on the other hand, are raucous. Their beefy bodies are confidently thrust forward or unselfconsciously relaxed as they flirt shamelessly with just everybody passing by. There's even an old woman who appears kind of shamed by it, but also sort of interested. They've taken up the familiar post of anybody who went to high school in America of a big group of dudes sitting on a short wall by a sidewalk to see what kind of attractions come to them, and they're having some mixed results. Some women flirt back, while others scowl and shuffle on, and the man, the fairy, the civilian, is very interested. So through this exaggeration, we can see the stereotype of sailors as drunken sex maniacs. One of them is literally passed out drunk, and there's a woman who appears to be typed as a sex worker trying to rouse him perhaps to come back to her place. But we also see the predatory fairy who is seeking easy prey, which was another common stereotype of the time as well. However, his visual difference, as well as his behavior, is a strategy. By visually and behaviorally communicating a difference from the hegemonic masculinity that the sailor basically embodies, the fairy excuses the actions of the sailor, who is trade, but we can get into that later. The sailors are just acting like sailors because they're randy and sex-starved and on shore leave, and they're within their masculine social role when they do so. Just like Donald, this fairy is hoping that maybe they'll resort to the most convenient available port. Of course, living on Fire Island with his friends and his boyfriend, Cadmus would probably know. So, like the biker and the policeman, the sailor's uniforms make them instantly recognizable. With an outfit, a sailor becomes more than just a person, but a whole set of ideas. Those ideas, the temporary nature of their presence, their presumed wildness, are what make the sailor desirable to the average land dweller of any gender, or at least the uniform of the sailor. By the 70s, gay men in America, reading cocky comics, were identifying themselves as gay men, and claimed their place in the masculine world by dissociating from the ridiculed, effeminate, stereotyped role of other homosexuals to become a real man, at least according to Cole in Don We Now Are Gay Apparel, which is a really fun book about gay people getting dressed. Rather than actually joining the military, it became acceptable to just signify the sailor or the lumberjack or the cowboy or the cop by the careful arrangement of dress, grooming, and bodybuilding, which was also very big at the time. The gay rights movement and the gay cultural saturation of Tom of Finland's bulging men had shifted a large portion of the community away from a conception of their peers as exclusively a feat, and toward an embodied masculinity that looked a lot more like your average sailor, sometimes with a uniform pressed just as sharp as any real Navy man. I mean, I've got a flap collar shirt in my own closet. It's a powerful image. But even as gay self-images shifted away from effeminacy and toward this exaggerated masculinity, the sailor retained his erotic power. While anybody could put on a uniform, there's nothing quite like the real thing.